This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You and I have unfinished business.
The first rule of Fight Club is you do not talk about Fight Club.
Do you really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
Get away from her, you...
Ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight?
You want answers!
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
At the movies on BFM 89.9.
I'm Umar Paganampake Pagan alongside Ian McNally and Bahe Yusuf. Solo, A Star Wars Story is still in cinemas and it would now officially be considered the first Star Wars movie to be a flop. I guess at least financially. Its total after 2 weeks was a measly $115.3 million on a reported budget of about $250 to $300 million. They're saying it could be more because its troubled production kind of caused that budget to balloon, right?
The movie's so good they shot it twice.
Exactly. If you don't know Lord and Miller, the guys responsible for the Lego movie, they were hired at first. Kathleen Kennedy didn't like what they were doing, so she fired them and then brought in Ron Howard to kind of save the day. Ian and I kind of liked the movie. Bahe, not so much. But irrespective of what critics felt about the film, usually under ordinary circumstances, $115 million after 2 weeks is still measly for a Star Wars movie because we keep thinking the brand and the franchise will carry it through, like what happened with the DC Universe and all of that stuff, right? Even bad movies make about $400
million. Yeah.
Not the case for Solo, A Star Wars Story. And I thought we'd take some time to kind of talk about why. There's been a lot on Twitter, on Facebook, on the internet, as people dissecting why this was the case with this movie. I think we've got some interesting angles as to why it might have underperformed even in Malaysia as well. But yeah, guys, what do you think? I mean, lots of stuff being bandied about, Star Wars fatigue, being sandwiched after Avengers and Deadpool 2, lots of stuff.
Yeah. Why is this movie? I think we talked about this at the time. Like, you didn't hate the movie. You just thought
it was fine. I didn't hate it. Yeah,
it is just fine.
And I think that's been the response, right? The movie's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's an element of that. I mean, there's, you know, man babies on the internet talking about like a boycott and all that stuff, but that has nothing to do with anything.
That never
That's just like a vocal
anything.
Minority.
Yeah.
But when it comes to these kind of things, there's only so much that can be down to the movie itself.
Yeah.
There's an awful lot comes down to the marketing and the actual, just the market. You're like, as you said, there has been Deadpool, there has been Avengers, we're going to Jurassic World now as well. People can't all afford to go to the cinema all the time. And this is a story that doesn't need to be told. Like, I know who that guy is. I know who, like, in the movie, in A New Hope, we know exactly who Han Solo is from the moment he walks on the screen. This never really needed to be a movie.
And also, it's the kind of thing where if I had young kids, you don't want to go, hey, let's go catch that new Solo movie so you know where he came from. You know, like, but he died in that other movie.
Yeah.
I don't need to know where he came from.
Exactly.
As a child, I don't think, as a kid, it doesn't matter.
Not
right?
even the Force Awakens. It's even back just to A New Hope.
Yeah.
You know everything you need to know about him because that's good screenwriting.
Yeah.
Like, you don't need to. This obsession with prequels is a bigger problem. We'll get to that, I think, later.
Yeah.
But it's a story that needs to be told. And in Star Wars, what people want is to, they like the universe, they want it to move forward.
Correct. Move along, yeah.
If
correct,
look,
other stuff.
Yeah, if you look at the other Disney tentpole, with what they've done with Marvel is, they have taken those stories, but they have expanded that universe every time. It's like, even now, we're going to get Ant-Man and the Wasp soon, which is coming soon after Avengers, may get hurt or make it a bonus because people don't realize it's set before the events of what happened to Avengers.
Mm.
But that's how you do it. You have like a big event movie and then you have the fun, snappy crime heist thing. Going from, it's only been 5 months since we saw The Last Jedi, and now to have, like, Star Wars used to be an event.
Yeah.
Now it's every year.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's fatigue. I don't think people are fatigued with the universe per se. I think...
I don't have time.
I think they don't have time. Exactly. And so here's the thing with Solo, right? I mean, we talked about it in our review. It is an incredibly well-made film. I mean, Ron Howard is a fantastic director. There are some phenomenal shots in it. I mean, we were complaining about some of the screenings being too dark, but, you know, the cinematographer specializes in low light.
Yeah.
And, I mean, some of the things he's done with that is amazing. So as a piece of art, the movie works, right? It is the philosophical reasons behind why a studio would make this. That's the problem.
Yeah.
And for me, I think that could have also been overcome by marketing. And for me, this movie wasn't marketed at all. Yeah, we didn't see a trailer until March, and I know maybe they didn't want to suck the air out of Avengers Infinity War, but that was ridiculous as well. I mean, that movie was going to sell itself. It had every major star on the planet.
They don't need a marketing spend. They've had 10 years worth of marketing spend. Exactly. They're called the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
But Solo needed to be sold because, yes, we know the story, but I'm sure, like, my mom is a big Star Wars fan, but she doesn't know 12 parsecs or any of that stuff or how he got the Millennium Falcon and whatever. But I think they needed to sell it to someone like my mom. They needed to sell it to the average person to say, oh, no, it's not just another Star Wars movie. It's this fun action adventure in the vein of Indiana Jones. How they sold Guardians of the Galaxy. Yeah. That's how I think they needed to have sold this movie. Yeah. And they did none of that.
Yeah. And I'm just wondering, I'm starting to wonder if they were trying to cut their losses with this one. Like, instead of making it the regular sort of Star Wars setting of end of the year, they do it early on. Are they just trying to, you know... Just
because, like, they could have, right? There was no movie lined up for this December.
Yeah, yeah. There's no...
But that's the thing. That's another thing. No movie lined up for December. By accident.
Yes.
New Star Wars is a Christmas thing.
Yeah.
Like the...
Previously it was...
The Disney movies, they were intended to come out earlier in the year, but they all ended up being delayed to Christmas. And that just made room for them.
Yeah.
And after a couple of them, you're thinking, hey, it's Christmas. Let's go see a Star Wars movie. Same way for 3 years I went to see Lord of the Rings movies.
Yes.
But moving this to May, it's just weird. And it might be, this might be a holdover from the plan. Like, the plan might have been, we're going to do these other movies and see how they work out. And, like, Rogue One was testing the water with new characters in the old timeline. This is, we're going to do a, like, maybe Solo was a holdover that was, like, in case The Last Jedi was too new and too strange. Because this is the thing, if fanboys are whining about this movie, this is the most, like, Star Wars-y thing. It's got an old character that you love and it's in the old setting that you love. But this might have been, if everything else fails, at least we have the Solo movie to fall back on. But now that the other things have done well, this feels like a throwback.
For me, I compare this to the other sort of non-Star Wars movie, right? Rogue One.
Mm.
I felt, when I heard what the story of Rogue One was about, I got excited.
Mm.
Because it's the stealing of the plans that lead directly to what launches the whole universe.
Well, first of all, I thought, it's like, finally we'll meet some Bothans. And then go, no, that's the other one.
Crap. I was corrected on Twitter. Yes.
Yeah. But for that one, Rogue One felt like there was actual story there. There was an actual story of having to get the plans to go for this thing to blow up the Death Star later on.
Spoilers for Rogue One. Even the writers of that movie were surprised when they said, like, their original script had an awful lot of the heroes living, and they were like, Kathleen Kennedy was like, you know, you can kill them all if you want. It's like, we can do that?
You mean we can do that now?
Death exists in Star Wars? For real?
Whereas with, like, Solo, I didn't feel like I needed to be told a story. I didn't need to know how he got his name.
And that was groan-worthy.
And I think therein lies the problem, right? Mm-hmm. Because I like the idea of the adventures of Han Solo because I like Han and Chewie together doing fun stuff.
Yeah.
Mm.
I didn't need all of that backstory about him. I think I would have loved a movie with them in the Millennium Falcon going off to do stuff.
Exactly. You're right. I don't need to see him meet Chewie.
We need 3 Solo movies where it's like Han from Fast and Furious, where it's constantly going, like, we go to Tatooine? Nah, not yet. Chewie, let's have some more fun.
Let's go somewhere else first. Yeah, I heard about this other thing.
Yeah, like, they had a universe to play in, and I was surprised when we came out of it, like, of the ridiculous levels of fan service and references there was. I mean, I was happy to hear about Bosk, but I'm also like, why are you putting Bosk references in your movie? Yeah.
It's just a random throwaway line that is completely irrelevant. But, you know, fan wank. It's there. Yeah.
But to me, it's that thing where, like, Solo didn't need to hit all the notes of all the Han Solo stories we
know. Miss some of them. Like, there's always been rumors in the expanded universe that Chewie's with Han because of a life debt he owes him. And, like, he kind of saves him in this movie, but it's not really a life debt. It's like, hey, knock out that pose. Like, why didn't I think of that? You know, that was Chewie's going on with Chewie.
Yeah.
But this makes me worried. Not worried. I mean, I've always thought the idea of doing a Boba Fett movie or an Obi-Wan movie. Obi-Wan could maybe be interesting if it's literally just sat in Tatooine and he walks into a town and it's like Last Man Standing or...
Yes.
What's the Japanese story that's based upon? It's not Rashomon. It's the one where the guy... Is it Yojimbo? The guy walks into the town and basically plays everyone else off each other and becomes the only guy who walks out of town. Obi-Wan Kenobi doing that.
I think
what James Mangold needs to make, not a Boba Fett movie.
The only way Boba Fett works is if it's the kid from the Clone Wars and he makes it through the whole movie. At the opening credits, he just gets iced. And then someone else says, like, cool armor,
cool
dude.
Cool helmet, dude.
And it just becomes the Dread Pirate Roberts in Star Wars, where it's constantly, Boba Fett is not a person. It's a title passed on right. from person to person. So like, just to throw your mind out.
Yes.
Because the trailers for this movie had Chewie about to hit a rock hanging off a train and Han pulling him back. It's like, I know that rock's not going to hit him.
Because he's in seven other movies.
Yeah. So like, you know there's going to be no peril. So you either ignore the peril completely or you embrace it and have them like tripping over thumbtacks and all sorts of stuff on the ship and almost breaking their heads
all
the time.
No, but you know what it is, right? You know, they need to do what Marvel has done, right? So Han Solo needs to be the Ocean's 11 of the Star Wars films. Mm. I don't know, Obi-Wan Kenobi needs to be the spy thriller thing. They have to do a thing.
They're going to do a heist. You got to call Bosk and IG-88 and you got to go to this planet and we're gonna steal that gold-plated gonk droid.
And to be fair, Solo does that to a certain extent. It is a straight-up heist movie. Mm. It's just bogged down by all of this other stuff.
Yeah.
That being said, though, I don't know if it's Star Wars fatigue that's an actual thing. Because I think people will go to the cinema and watch movies if they're entertaining. I don't think the average viewer, not fanboy, cares so much if it's a Star Wars movie or not.
But I think it needs to be an event. And 5 months after the last one does not feel like an event.
So
it
here's
feels
the
like,
thing. I think they're trying to not make it an event, right? Mm. I mean, and I don't know if that's going to be a good thing or a bad thing. Mm. Because if Star Wars becomes every day an average, like if we get more than one movie a year, what does that mean? Does it lose its sense of value?
I mean, it becomes Andromeda. Remember that TV show?
Oosh. Yeah, that was just
awful all the time.
Kevin Sorbo.
And it got seven seasons, right? And Firefly got one.
It's Kevin Sorbo. It's Hercules, man.
Yeah, kind of in space.
I think the thing about Solo was that all the people who were going to go watch it went to watch it.
Yeah.
But we didn't go watch it again. Except for you,
I went
to see it five times.
Three times. Only, I really liked it.
That's the difference, right? The other Star Wars things, you would have gone and see seven times. You only saw this one three.
Maybe.
Yeah.
You know, that shows you that.
There are practical reasons as well. You know, Avengers Infinity War and Deadpool 2 kind of stole all the screens available in the United States.
And that happens here. Like, you go, you want to see a movie, we've already seen Avengers. What's my local cinema showing? Nothing but Avengers. So that's a scheduling problem. But I still think the idea that Star Wars movies should be an event. And the other thing that Marvel hasn't done up until Captain Marvel itself now is prequels.
Yes.
Mm.
Like, Captain America wasn't a prequel because we hadn't seen him really at that point. It was,
it was
set at the, like, that was the first introduction to Captain America.
Yeah.
So they haven't gone back. We're not getting young Tony Stark or anything like that.
No, we're moving
yet.
Forward.
Yeah. We're always moving forward and they're always adding new characters. And it's that universe we love. And we have a familiarity with the new characters they're adding, which is fine.
And to be fair, Captain Marvel isn't necessarily a prequel. It is the introduction to a new character
but
as well.
But it's on Wikipedia's list of prequels, if you look at it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really?
And if you think about the list of prequels that we have, I mean, it is an obsession because it's like, hey, let's make that thing. But because that thing had a definite ending, we don't want to piss people off by undoing that ending.
Yeah.
So let's make a beginning that no one asked for that will piss people off even more. Okay, Ridley Scott? Just give me the money.
Yeah.
You know, you look at it. You got the Alien movies. You got remember the Thing prequel from 2011?
That was awful.
That was awful. Oz the Great and Powerful. Yeah. Good, the Bad, and the Ugly was a prequel.
Was it really?
Huh? Yeah, because A Fistful of Dollars and A Few Dollars More came out first, and it was set before them.
Uh-huh.
Godfather Part 2 gets a pass.
Of course.
X-Men's Origins Wolverine gets a minus, but we get a plus for First Class.
We do.
But which doesn't really feel like a prequel because
it's setting up a new franchise.
We didn't trust Bryan Singer enough the first time when we did the X-Men to do like the 60s set one, but now we've kind of painted ourselves into a corner, so let's do all new giant size X-Men just without the characters we've already used and we just shoehorn in some other
guys. I don't think that's a prequel. I think that's a relaunch of a new franchise.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Minions was a prequel. Fantastic Beasts is a prequel, and it's a prequel in the right way.
Exactly.
Harry Potter's not in it. Dumbledore's going to be in the second one, but it's actually like it's in universe. You have to keep growing forward. This obsession with looking backwards. These brands have been around long enough now that nostalgia is no longer a credit. It is a debt.
But here's the thing, though.
So they have to overcome this millstone around their neck.
In this day and age, is there any real issue with being nostalgic? Right. I can put on.
There's no issue
episode
with it. But
four, five, six.
But the thing is, there's no issue with it, but it surrounds us everywhere.
Yeah.
Like, there's too much of it. And
yeah.
It's to the point where, like, someone tweeted about there's a hashtag on Twitter, I think it's Force Out the Hate or something like that. It's about people saying, no, well, look, I love Star Wars, and these are the things I love, and including Solo. Mm. And so people talking about the Dark Horse Legacy series, which was like Luke Skywalker's great-grandson.
Okay.
Who was Force-sensitive, didn't know it, and was like a pirate. Because his family, like the world had gone to crap again. And it just moved things along.
It was fun.
You have to keep moving along.
Yeah. Well, there's also the other reason, which is the pure commercial reason of why a movie like this would not have opened big in the US or the rest of the world. It had absolutely no big name stars in it. Mm. You know, unlike all of the other Star Wars movies, I mean, with Force Awakens, you had almost two decades, a decade and a half with no Star Wars movie. So that thing was going to open huge anyway. And they marketed that movie for a year and a half.
And when that guy popped up his head in the desert, you're like, what's going on there?
What's going on there, right? But with Solo, no big name stars. Yeah. Alden Ehrenreich is unknown, except for that Coen Brothers movie, which nobody watched.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No one's watching it for Dragon Lady from Game of Thrones. No. Woody Harrelson's always a side character. So,
yeah,
you
and
know,
he's great on TV.
The only thing that would have opened this was the Star Wars brand.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so late, it was sandwiched between these two big behemoths, it was not going to work. And I mean, I think the pure commercial interests as well really caused this movie to suffer.
Mm.
Yeah. Also, it didn't capture the market in China like no Star Wars movie has done. Mm-hmm. That's a big problem for them because it really doesn't add anything to the overseas haul.
Yeah, but that's another thing where it's just like, this has always been the case.
It's always
so
been the
case. So you do projections responsibly.
Yeah.
It's like, our movie's going to make $500 million. How do you know?
And it's the same with Malaysia. Star Wars doesn't perform in Malaysia at all. It
really?
Just doesn't open big. And I don't know why that is. I don't know if it's been too long a time before that generation and this generation, so no one's capturing that market,
mm-hmm.
maybe. But Force Awakens opened all right. Last Jedi lost out to Jumanji.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Solo did very well either. So Malaysia as a market for Star Wars movies, not so much. It could also be the science fiction factor. All science fiction movies in Malaysia tend to do badly. There's a lot of ways to cut this, and I'm sure Disney is studying it like crazy before they commit to any other prequels, even though they've announced Boba Fett, and I think they sit there working on Obi-Wan, possibly.
Yeah, and the weird thing that ties through this is that, like, there's rumors that some of what George Lucas handed over in his drafts for 7, 8, and 9 are in The Last Jedi, and some of these plans for, like when they first started talking about Obi-Wan and Solo movies, like, it's weird we got this, because it was like, they'll never do that.
Right.
That's a lame idea, right?
Yeah.
And then it became real. It's like, well, that could be all right. So, like, as I said, it needs to be now, like, you know, the smuggler movie, the slapstick droid comedy movie, the romantic comedy movie.
I don't know if I want to see the slapstick droid comedy.
But the thing is, like, they've been able to pick actors and characters in the main branch storylines that, like, they're new characters and they work. Like, BB-8 is like laser targeted to appeal to your heartstrings. Is there anyone cooler than Poe Dameron in the Star Wars universe right now? You know, and Finn and Rey are just great. And everything's, like, that is all fresh.
They've crafted good characters.
Yes, and that has to be what comes first. And I feel this didn't have that. But I need to be fresh as well. Like, keep new, keep it moving.
Well, on television, on the internet, in cinema, there are at least 100 other Star Wars projects happening. So, hey, who knows? We may get something fresh yet.
Yeah, but then by that point, if it's on all the time, it's like, then I'm going to go read a book to get away from the Star Wars. Yeah.
Maybe that's the key. Give it time.
Yeah.
These things need some time to breathe, and so do audiences.
Yes.
Let us know why you think Solo, A Star Wars Story, underperformed at the box office. You can tweet us. I'm on at Umar Pagan.
I'm on at McNasty Prime.
I'm at Bahe Wyatt.
You're listening to At The Movies. This is BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.